So please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 6, verse 27. Last week we saw that the title was to drink water from your own cistern, to be faithful in marriage. And we're going to see, really, this theme continues. Be faithful to the Lord and to His Word, because He's wisdom. We're going to see wisdom talked about, and you're going to say, man, this wisdom is being talked about like it's God. And in a way, it is God, because all wisdom comes from God. That without the wisdom of God, we have nothing, and with the wisdom, we have life. And so Proverbs 6:27, as a lead into chapter 7 and all that it says, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. Go to verse 33. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury. Therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance, and he will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you give many gifts. And so the curse back then, and we see so much of Proverbs, is warning his sons, be careful of immorality. Amazing. Here, thousands of years later, it's probably the biggest thing that a man can give to his son, too, is this wisdom. Don't forget that immorality, adultery, is so destructive. You must not fall into it. And it goes on to keep the same theme in chapter 7. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Keep my commands and live. And my law is the apple of your eye. And really, in a sense, we have to read this as God speaking. You know, God's commands. We, as fathers, can only communicate the commands of God. And my laws is the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingertips. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. It is God's law that warns us of the consequences of pursuing the lust of the flesh. And so what he's saying is, please, just get this wisdom, listen to the law. What does the law say about fornication? What does it say about adultery? What does it say about lust of the flesh? What does it say? It says if you enter into it, you'll die. You'll suffer. Physically, when the law was being applied to the nation of Israel, those things led to literal physical death, because if you fell into it, you were taken before the city elders and you would be stoned if it was adultery. And there's all kinds of different variations that we're not going to get into here. We recently, not too long ago, went through it in the law, when we went through the law. But so the Word of God is what shows us there's consequence. Now, it's not like obeying the law gets us saved, right? But if we love God, if we are saved and we have a love for God, then our heart is going to desire to do these things. And that's what's the appeal of the Word of God is, first we love God, then we're going to love His commandments, and then those commandments are going to be there to guard us against thinking that we can violate the law of God because of our lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and pride of life that still exists, and not get burned, not have destruction. And so the Word's there to say, oh no, you'll get burned, you'll die. Things will be destroyed. And I don't know how many times over the years, talking, almost every time there's a situation of marriage difficulties in a people's life, it's almost always, along with whatever else is there, involves to some extent this issue. And the destruction that is there. Just even talking to somebody here this last week, not anybody in the church, but just talking to somebody how the immorality had led to difficulties. Chapter 7 verse 6, for at the window of my house, and let's call this God, God, for at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice, looked down from heaven. I mean, it is written as a father watching, a man watching a fool in a street. But like I said a couple weeks ago, the thing that keeps me from helps keep me is the constant awareness God's looking, right? If we're going to survive in this day of lust, we have to constantly remind ourselves it's God looking. Because you might think, oh no, the shades are pulled and nobody's seeing what I'm doing. And then if you think that, if you're thinking only nobody's looking, then you might fall into sin. But if you're constantly reminding yourself that God's lattice is open, he's seeing everything from heaven, he's watching you, whether you're going to be the fool, whether you're going to play the fool, or whether you're going to play the servant of his. Window of my house, I looked through the lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. Why? Because he's headed down the street of a harlot's house, and it looks like he's just looking for something to do. And he goes, oh, there's a fool. He's out at night. He's out walking the streets. He's out, and I know, you know, the man's looking out, oh, I know there's danger in the streets, and here this fool is there. And you know, I just think of all the, every teenager should get this lecture from their dad. You go out at night, you're doing, how often do teenagers sit there and go, well, my friends get to stay out past midnight, why can't I? My son, he was old grown and it was 10 o'clock. You're going to be home at 10 o'clock. There's nothing. Why be out past 10 o'clock? What happens past 10 o'clock that's any good? Nothing. Nothing's good. And it was easy to give him that wisdom because I used to be out past 10 o'clock. And I know it brought nothing but destruction to my life. What is there to do? Who wants you to mow the yard at midnight? Who wants you to do anything else constructive with your life? Making money? Who, knock on the door, can I clean your gutters at midnight? Because my dad is saying I need to be diligent and working, you know? No, they should be in bed so they can get up in the morning and they can go hit the job. They can go to work, right? And that's what we should be training. So this guy sees a fool in the middle of the night, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. And a path to whose house? A woman who is a servant of Satan, and a trap to the unwary. And I want to say again, for you, you know, women and teaching your daughters, that just switch it around. For a daughter, switch it around to the man that's there, carousing, looking for a foolish woman. To go up and schmooze her, tell her nice, wonderful things in her ear about how, oh yeah, you're just such a great girl and I just want to get to know you. And so the trap. See, Satan has men and women in our culture. It was a lot easier. It was a lot more difficult for it to go the other way in the culture of Proverbs. But the, Satan has his people and they're there to just destroy. You know, this whole Trump thing with this lawyer from Russia. You know, there's a lot of buzz that she was actually all as a setup to plant to create the grief for Trump. And so here was the Democrats or whatever they sit there, hey, we want you to pretend that you're going to give Trump company dirt on Hillary so that, and we're going to keep this piece of information so that we can use it downstream to destroy you. And so warfare is very understandable. And so what did she do? Oh, I've got some really good stuff for you. And if, you know, and again, just the wisdom, the discernment that we need to know that is this person from the devil or from God? And that's what every young person needs to know. And if they don't have a love for Jesus, a self-sacrificing love for Jesus, and they're trying to schmooze our children or grandchildren into a relationship that should, you know, a serious relationship that would someday cause them to be together in marriage, if they're not believers, it's from the devil. It's according to the Word of God. And it's just like, you know, again, you go fishing, and when you're in a clear water, it's so much fun to throw the lure out and say, oh, I can see that fish. Oh, it likes my lure. And you dazzle a little bit more in front of their face, and oh, yeah, and then just as soon as they bite, they go, oh, I got them. And that's what the devil is doing through these people in the twilight, in the evening, in the black of the dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. Darkness nobody sees, forgetting that God always does see. Dressed with a desire to allure the lust of the flesh. man, it's almost getting to the point in this world where, you know, as I mentioned three weeks ago, it's like TV shows are just full of the lust of the flesh. Scantily clad women, no modesty anymore in anything. No modesty, it's unbelievable. And see, what happens for guys is that the mind, once it gets conditioned to that, it can break down other barriers. And so women, you need to understand, don't be like the rest of the world. So let's look at it from, what do we do? Like, let's say within the church. So let's say within the church, why would a woman who's a churchgoer dress in an immodest way? Well, because they're not listening to the wisdom of God. Because the wisdom of God says that a woman is to be chaste and to not be immodestly attired. That it shouldn't just be merely the adorning of the hair. It says this in Titus and Timothy and Peter. It talks about how women are supposed to be chaste. And I would say it's a responsibility of the husband, for those that are married, to say, you're not going to wear that to church. Because it's the responsibility of the husband to be the spiritual leader of the home. And recently, there's been situations. But see, within a church, what do? You don't have the Taliban patrol outside to say, you know, you don't know what's in the heart of the people that are coming in. And somebody can come in that doesn't even have a love for Jesus, doesn't even know Jesus. They're dressing like the world, and what are we going to do? And what is the standard? The standard's been breached here recently, and I've made communications to deal with it. And when I was, appealing to a relative to tell somebody, young lady that was blatant, it was an interesting response. It was like, she's just really confused right now. It's just like that's the way she's always been treated, so she feels like that's the way that she must supposed to dress. Isn't that sad? And so much of the young, it's like something tweaks in people's brains, and they, even though they've been abused or used or whatever else, instead of becoming chaste and saying, forget that, it's like the opposite happens. And so we talked about how unbiblical that is for somebody who goes to church to want to say, I don't care, I'm gonna dress like I'm a streetwalker. And it shouldn't be that way. We should be, and I was sitting there, I was really sat down and thought and pondered as a pastor, how do we deal with this? And I realized how many people are going to come into a church. I don't want to go to a church where somebody let a streetwalker be here. But then we do love the streetwalkers, don't we? We love them. We want to be able to have compassion and to be able to minister them gracefully and lovingly, but also to realize that if it doesn't change, there has to be something that happens. There has to be that final communication of what's going on and that it can't be allowed. And today, if a woman were to dress modestly through high school, into college, etc., etc., they'll be vilified. They'll be like, what is your problem? What's with you, Mrs. Prudish? And yet that's what a God-fearing woman would have the wisdom. If they take the wisdom of God, that's the way they'll be. And it would be honoring to God, and they would save themselves much grief later on. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot, a crafty heart, who does not heed God's warning of where it will lead. The woman met him, and if he is aware of the warning of God's word, what does he do? He runs. He doesn't play with coals. He doesn't sit there and look, oh, nice to meet you. Do you know the directions? Can I stare at you for a while I try and find out where I need to go? No, he absolutely runs. He does not heap coals in his lap and think he won't get burnt. And the same is true for accidental finding something on your phone, accidental web page or some pop-up or something else. Everything, guys, it's like you run. You run, you don't play, you do nothing. Or you're going to play the fool. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner, seeking out the fool. And again, this is the devil. This is the other thing to realize when you watch these Hollywood. I want to use the term because I know it's shocking, and I know it's the Hollywood whores, the Hollywood sluts, to just realize they're see, that's what your mind has to sit there and say. As a woman, you need to see that and say it for what it is, because then you're not going to want to be that way. As a man, we need to see it so we're quickly in that attitude of run. Because it is not just, oh, there's a beautiful woman. Oh, too bad she's scantily clad. Except for my flesh, he says, not so bad. We have to have the mindset of what it is. It is the devil walking around seeking who he can devour. And in this case, she's good. You know, who can I kill tonight? So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent face. Impudent, not showing due respect for another person. She has no respect for the other person. The guy thinks, at this point, he's dead meat. He's thinking, oh, she loves me. She cares about me. She met me in the dark. She said something nice and sweet to me. No, she hates you. She's going to kill you because she's a servant of Satan. And again, same way the other way. For you guys, or for you girls, or your children, tell him. When he says that, oh, but Daddy, he loves me. He says he loves me. He's the only one shown any concern for me. No, actually, he's setting you up and you'll be sobbing in your bed someday if you don't realize he hates you. If he's starting to pursue a physical relationship right off the bat, he hates you. He's going to destroy you. He's going to ruin your emotions. He's going to destroy your future. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me today. I have paid my vows. Now this is amazing. And if you read through the Bible and you didn't skip over Leviticus, like most do, people have asked me, really, Kevin, Leviticus 2? I mean, all the sacrifice and everything? Well, here's a nugget. This is a gold nugget if you've read Leviticus. Because you know what she's saying? I have peace offerings with me today. I have paid my vows. You know what she's saying? I have fresh steaks at home. Because a peace offering, the sacrifice, you took it, you had to eat it within that day, and it was fresh sacrificed meat. And you know what? You can't keep it a second day. If it's a peace offering, you can't keep it a second day. So it's like, I've got to eat it tonight. And there's more than enough for me, and so there's some for you. Now, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes with the woman, lust of the flesh, the kiss on the face, lust of the flesh, a hot steak that's just been cut today, of a nice cut of steak. I mean, the guy's dead meat. He's seriously out of it. He's going to be destroyed. But what does it also tell us? What does that nugget tell us? She's a Jew. She's a Jew, and she went to the temple, and she went to the priest, and she, I want him to have peace with God. I want to have peace with God and everything else, but her heart is far. With her lips, she praised him, but her heart was far from her. So girls, guys, be careful, because not everybody that's in a church is truly in love with Jesus. Not everybody that was going to the temple was in love with Jesus. So I came out to meet you. The woman saying to the man, I came out to meet you. Appealing to the pride of life. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, the pride of life. All three in his face. Diligently to seek your face, I have found you, you good looking guy. And now he's just putty. I have spread my bed with tapestry colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. And his only salvation at this point, so far, so close to the boat, is what? The Word of God. The warning from the Word of God. No, this would be immoral. This would be adultery. This would be, God's Word says, there's consequences for that, and he would wake up and go, "Whoa, I've got a little bit of fight left." Boom, and shake the hook off and run. If you don't think consequences all the time, then in this day and age, you don't think consequences, the devil's going to find some way of getting you. You have to keep the law of God and the consequences of sin ever before you. And she goes on to make it clear it's an adulterous situation. For my husband, he's not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him, and he will come home on the appointed day. He had lots of money. He's going to go far away. What is she saying? Huh? We have plenty of time. We're not going to get caught. See, once again, consequences are, yes, I'm going to get caught. Why? But she's saying, my husband's not going to catch you. But what do you have to understand? God's going to catch you. See, if you're not thinking God, there's always going to be the situation, your dad's gone, your mom's gone, your wife's gone, your husband's gone, somebody's gone, nobody's watching, and that's what she's saying. The devil is going to say, no human is going to catch you. And what we have to say is, but God is going to catch me. He sees me right now. He's seeing through the lattice of his window. He's looking to see whether I'm going to be a fool or I'm going to be a servant of his to my own hurt from the lust of the flesh standpoint. You know, hurt, picking up my cross hurt. It's no fun to pick up a cross and get nails driven in your hands or anything. But that's what we have to do, is crucify the flesh and it's with its passions. So Numbers 32:23, it says, but if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Now, it's a little out of context when we use it, but it still applies. Will our sins always find us out? They always find us out. That's consequences. My sin is always going to find me out. God's not going to let me get away with this. The context of it is the tribes that conquered the east side of the Jordan River, they were saying, hey, you know, we just wiped out the giant kings and the people that were immoral that God told us to destroy. And we're thinking we can take the land over here. And Moses goes, no way, because you're on the east side of the Jordan and you won't fight with your brothers when God sends us over to the other side. And they said, no, seriously, we'll just set up our families here and all our fighting men will go. We'll go and fight. And Moses says, okay, but if you don't, your sins will find you out. And see, we're in a fight. God has commanded us to fight, not on this side of the Jordan, on the other side. We have to fight the fight against our flesh. And if we don't, our sins will find us out. If we want to stay on the comfortable side of the Jordan River and just be about me, myself, and I, and not thinking about the battle of what God's called us to, our sins will find us out. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. The fool bites the hook. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver, as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Dragged into the boat as a foolish man. And again, every hunter, every fisherman, everybody knows, you know, to just whatever it takes to get the animal you're after to be enticed in some unnatural way to come into your grasp and then destroy it and kill it. And we have to realize that is our world. Every time we put our feet on the floor and we step out for another day, we are realizing there is a war to try and get us. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. And again, all the same can be said about a seductive man as it relates to a woman. And, we all understand this is the biggest issue in the world today. Because again, it doesn't have to be the actual physical realm. It can be the porn realm that we live in. We have to see it for what it is. As guys, the women have to help their husbands and say, yeah, I know women, church-going women, that have struggled with porn themselves. And it's got to be, we can't play the fool. We can't. It will destroy everything. Chapter 8. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the high hill besides the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. Wisdom cries out from the truth. Where's the truth found? You know, the wisdom wants to give us truth. It's found in the Word of God. Is anyone listening today to the Word of God? I mean, let's think about this in our society. Is anybody really listening? I mean, you know, I'm not talking here. I'm talking, let's look at society. Yeah, we're all here. We're all listening, 100% listening. Really? Just think how bad it is. I was talking to a friend of mine today. He's an Uber driver now, and he's a perfect guy to be an Uber driver. And because he just loves telling people about Jesus. And he gives a lot of tracks out and stuff. And he took the entire Chick publication track box, you know, everything they ever created. And he sent it to his two sisters and his brother, thinking certainly they'll read just one of them. You know, it's not like I'm shipping them a Bible. It's like it takes 2 minutes to read these tracks. And one sister confessed to him, yeah, I got it. Have you opened it? Nope. And then months and months later, have you opened it yet? Nope. And not going to. The brother said, not only will I not open it, don't talk to me anymore. Won't talk to him, won't answer any phone calls. And when he called his other sister, who also said, I'm not going to talk about it and I don't want it. I don't want to hear anything about it. She said, and the reason the brother's not answering your calls is because of those tracks you sent him, because he just doesn't want to hear it. And then, so that's the world. The world right now, just how hard is it to get anybody to want to listen to anything about the Word of God, especially about what the Word of God might say about wisdom, which is to turn away from sin and to walk in holiness with God. Very, very few. How about, now let's ask yourself the question, what do you think the percentage of church-going Christians in America who spend their whole life in church, and yet if you were to ask them, have you ever read the Word of God devotionally, where you're sitting down and you're going through the whole Word of God, Genesis to Revelation? And I wonder, in all the millions of people in America that go to church, how many would say, absolutely. In fact, I've done it more than once. I would venture to say it's not a very high percentage. That would be my guess. And now, let's just say the example of American who goes through an entire year, example of any American who goes an entire year without ever going to church, so doesn't even get a verse or two at an emerging church. He doesn't even get a verse up on the screen that then somebody goes and talks about for a half an hour. They don't go to church, so they don't get anything, and they never ever open the Word of God. What do you think the percentage of that in America? I bet you it's greater than half. That my guess would be that's greater than half, that you could take 50-50 and say, have you gone to a church service where you've even heard a verse spoken? And where you go, oh, that's in the Bible and gotten a verse, and you've never opened the Bible in your family for the entire year to sit down and read it. It's got to be greater than half in the people I've talked to. And so when it says that wisdom is crying out, it's kind of like if the tree falls in the forest and no one's there, did it make a noise? If the Bible's on every table in America, nearly every house has a Bible, but nobody opens and reads it, has wisdom been proclaimed to the country? No. And if people go through life without any wisdom from God, what do you think is going to happen? Nightly news. What's going to happen is nightly news. What we hear every night. What we're doing in our country. The absolute foolishness and chaos and craziness and lawlessness and political craziness and foolishness that's going to... I mean, anybody with any wisdom at all is going to see that what's going to happen with these laws that get passed. And you just know economically it's going to lead to the destruction of people. So... How about this one as an example? Did you know for something for the very first time in the entire history of the world, as far as anybody knows, happened on July 5th? And that was a child was born in Canada and was finally given a medical certificate, you know, a healthcare certificate, which is like a birth certificate, where the government finally acquiesced to the parent to say, we're not going to put the gender down because the parent demanded that they not put gender down because he wanted to wait for her child to decide what gender it is. And so, this same group is petitioning the Congress of Canada, Parliament of Canada, to make a law so that no child can be born where they're going to be oppressed with the label they get given at birth because of a doctor looking at its organs to determine whether it's a boy or a girl. So it might become soon illegal for a Christian, God-fearing couple to say, oh, it's a girl. You can't say that. I can. It's a girl. I have the wisdom of God. I'm sorry you're brain dead, but I have the wisdom of God. And I know, actually, I'm pretty smart. I know it's a girl. And I want that on the birth certificate / medical card for Canada. Nope, that's illegal. You can't. In fact, it appears that you're going to be an abusive parent, and so we're going to have to take your child away to foster care that will properly raise your children. Are we in trouble? And why? Why is this happening? Because people are wanting to listen to the wisdom of Satan rather than the wisdom of God. It's because a famine has come to the land. No longer, it's not a famine of bread. It's not a famine of drink. It is a famine of the Word of God. And there is no wisdom in our world today, and we haven't seen anything yet because it's gonna snowball, and you're gonna be the only ones that have the wisdom, you and everybody that does read the Word of God, look to the wisdom of God in this entire world, you're gonna be considered crazy by everybody but God. And so all you have to worry about is, again, as we mentioned on Sunday, we only care about what God thinks, right? All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. It's plain to us. Isn't it plain to us? And why is it plain to us? Because we understand. Why do we understand? Because we know what God says. And because he dwells inside of us and he lets us know what the truth is. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. God wants us to seek and pick up his word of God with the same zealousness as if we were right next to a river in California during the gold rush. And every time we took our pan into that river, we would get the shiny stuff. We would get the gold flakes in there. And what God wants us to do is every time, every day that we wake up, we look at the word of God with that same passion as a gold miner did when he, I'm going to get some gold. I'm going to work, I'm going to pan, and I'm going to get gold. And what God says, don't be thinking of that pan until you think about the Word of God. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. Prudence is cautious, to be cautious. Discretion, doing what is witty and right in any given situation. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance, an evil way, and the perverse mouth I hate. And we'll end with that in saying that if we're going to fear God, see, if that man would have feared God, that foolish man would have feared God, he'd have said, this woman, as nice as she looks to my fallen flesh, is evil. And then I hate the very thing she's out here representing, and you easily walk away. You easily run away because you hate evil because you love and fear God. The converse is true. People that don't hate evil, do they love God? See, it's kind of like, if you love God, you're going to hate evil. So if you love evil, or you tolerate evil, you play with evil, then does that mean you don't love God? You don't love him with the passion that God wants you to. And that's where, and if you're truly a child of God, he's going to work on that love for him by showing you the foolishness, the destruction of playing with coals in your lap and letting evil take over your life. And he does that out of his love for us. And so let's go through life hating evil. And that requires our minds to use the words of the Word of God in our mind when we see things that are happening around us. That's evil. Whatever you're watching on TV, it's evil, it's evil, it's evil. And you're letting that be in your mind so that you can help walk in this gnarly, wicked world. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and God help us. We don't want to play the fool and be the foolish man or woman walking around in this world where it seems like there's something not on every corner, but every crack on the sidewalk, every pothole in the road. It's just everywhere, Lord, around us. And God, it's hard to even find friends and co-laborers in the walk to serve you, Lord. And I just so thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of the saints that we can have in church and being able to come to fellowship with one another and to remind ourselves that we're not crazy as the world thinks we are, and to remind ourselves we're going to heaven. We're going to go to where you are, Lord, where righteousness dwells and there is no evil. And we should have the heart and mind of that you do, Lord. And we pray for that wisdom and that discernment, discretion, that God would protect us from the wicked one as we walk through the rest of our lives in this world until we come to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. He has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God and to walk humbly with thy God.
Humbly means, God, I can't do it on my own. I need you. I need your spirit to set me free from all this stuff. And thank you for your grace and mercy to forgive me for the things that I've done in foolishness. And I want to walk tomorrow in greater wisdom and humility. Amen. God bless you. Keep you in his care till we can fellowship again.